Joshua, Isaiah, Elijah, Jeremiah.
And Silas were released from prison when they prayed in Acts chapter 3. Peter and John in Acts chapter 3. The church in Antioch had phenomenal things happen to them in Acts chapter 13. Paul with the elders prayed in Acts chapter 20 and Acts chapter 21. Lesson after lesson, the scripture teaches us on prayer. God wants us to pray. Jesus encourages us something a little bit different. He says he wants us to watch and pray. Matthew chapter 24 and Mark 13 say we're to watch and pray for the coming of our Lord. Luke chapter 22 and Matthew chapter 26 tell us to watch and pray so that we don't fall into temptation. So certainly this is something that we need to have teaching on. We need to give much thought to this idea of prayer. Now the model that was taught as a boy for chapel life, or what I was taught, is called New Testament principles. Dr. Jim likes to use the term primitivism in his books. That's a good term. At first I was like, I'm not sure I like being called primitive. My wife says it fits. But what we do here at the chapel perhaps is a little primitive in the good sense of the word. It's simple. It's the way they did it in Antioch, the way that they did it in Jerusalem. So if you allow the use, I like that. It's starting to move me over. In Acts chapter 2, verse 42, obviously, is the verse that we need to consider. The people there in Jerusalem concentrate on four things. Fellowship, breaking of bread, the apostle teaching, which has to be just teaching for guys like Dr. Jerry, who is the apostle, Dr. Jerry, and prayer. We understand that there are prayers of confession and intercession and praise, etc., etc. There are all different kinds of prayers. But what does this mean to us in November or December of the year 2000? Ezekiel 22, verse 30. If you read for me, very familiar verse, 2 Chronicles 7:14, Romans 15:30, Ezekiel 22:30. What an apropos verse to us right now, with all doing before. Now I understand that I am partially old brethren, kind of some of you. Many people in the chapel that I grew up in didn't vote.
Martha and I fellowshiped for 5 years, there was a lot of very politically active people. It was probably compromised. But certainly, as Christians, if you want to vote or don't vote, you know, I'm not going to express my opinion. But you can certainly pray. And God wants us to do that. There's verse after verse that tells us to pray for the leaders of our country.
All right, now we don't know what that is, okay? But we can pray for both the guys.
We certainly need to be bathing that whole thing in prayer. Now, how does that help? I'm not really sure. I don't understand completely how those prayers get up there to God's throne, how that makes a difference that way. But He tells us to do it. It's a perfect example. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, then I'll heal their land. That's healing of abortion, healing of homosexuality. God can heal with the power of our prayers.
So,
Romans 15:30. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by our Lord Jesus Christ, by the love of the Spirit, join me in earnest prayer to God on my behalf.
What a phenomenal verse. Here's the Apostle Paul. Kind of big man on campus. Wrote quite a few of the books in the power of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. What's he told the Romans? Very lengthy book. Had to instruct them on a lot of doctrines. So they weren't necessarily the sharpest knife in the book. What's he telling them? Pray for him so we can join in his struggles. The Apostle Paul wanted them to pray for him. Now, how important is that for us? Right here, sitting in these pews, when we think about, you just close your eyes for a minute. Close your eyes. I'll say some names and tell me that you can't picture their faces. Mary Hawthorne, Guy Powell, Jennifer Sorens. As we go through the list of names of our commended workers, we can have a part of their ministry, part of their struggles, by praying for them. The Apostle Paul gives a very clear example here. Join in each other's struggles. He wanted it.
So it's only one verse, friend. Can't think of the doctrine. First Corinthians chapter 1, verse 11 says the same thing to the church at Corinth.
He said, you helped our ministry by your prayers. Now Corinth, too. Good grief, those guys needed two books. Whole bunch of doctrines. Apostle beat them up half the time in 1 Corinthians.
This one, that one, come on guys, let's get it together.
Well, what's he doing? You helped me
by your prayers.
It's very important to me that God loves me, that God wants my prayers. God wants my me.
I have 5 children.
You can't get their names straight all the time. Mike, Ben, whatever your name is, clean your room.
Where did that?
Well, go clean your sister's room. Whichever room that is over there, somebody clean this room.
But I know the voice in the room that when they cry, Daddy, I'm sleeping. You know immediately what you get. When you say, Father, when you say, Daddy, when you say, God, Father, God, Lord and Master, however you address Him, you instantly have His attention. He hears you and identifies you. Right? That is immense.
I read this morning, let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid.
where I go to prepare a place for you. In the water, this place, probably not works. I have a place in that. G-pop, in the meantime,
nobody knows their place.
You have someone in your life who's prayed for you. Example in my life, we were at the Baptist Church. It was a Pentecostal lady. And, you know, many of you have met my father, but you must understand where my daddy is over. This is right. He's over here somewhere. Okay? So, you know, growing up with a teaching elder who was right all the time, Pentecostal wasn't just kind of fit really well. And I didn't know where to put this woman. And her husband is a Air Force officer. Very friendly, very proper. This woman would come up to me and she would say, "Brian, I was in my kitchen on Tuesday morning at 10 o'clock and the Lord just laid you on my heart that you were struggling. And so I just got down on my knees in my kitchen and I prayed for you. Would you come up on Sunday morning?" But go around the congregation. This is not a fool. This is a big place. And she would talk to me. She would say, "But Dick Barber, you know, the other morning I woke up at 5 a.m. and the Lord just convicted me that you needed prayer so I could get better on my knees." What was scary about it was that she was right. I was hoping that the Lord wasn't telling her what I was doing that evening. How can a person have that kind of prayer life? To this day, I don't know another thing. She did. She walked the Lord. She prayed. She was a prayer warrior. You have someone who's prayed for you long term. Last couple of weeks, I've been on some trips that I've taken a walk. And I hunt with men who knew me years ago. This one little guy, his name is Rick. And I was 15, he was 23 when he befriended me. He worked teachers, helped me work teachers in very difficult times in my life. And if he was answering a question about by his wife about our relationship very early on, I had become very, I've begun to understand that some of my testimony can't be told well. Michael was sitting across the table and I realized that Rick knew me and had prayed for me for years and years. He was dark and beautiful. I was a prophet and long before I was a prophet. You have to know why you prayed for me. Now, that's a little bit of my upbringing. Can we pray from a written list? Or should it be as the Spirit moves? Father would tell you that you should not pray from the written list. You should be responsible to the Spirit of the Lord. I would submit to you that you can pray from the written list. I would like to read the list. And I thought about doing a nice little handout listing all out for you. That A, our bulletin hasn't been, our decorating is updated as a prayer to somebody. And B, I do believe in the Dave Rock theory that you need to write it down yourself on the first. I would encourage you to go home and take our missionaries and list every one of them by name. So not only would you list Steve and Mary Hawthorne, you would list Steve and Mary Hawthorne. And you would list each and every one of our community. You can take each and every one of the other workers that are listed in the direction of the box directly. Take the people. Within Bethany chapter, even the ones you don't like Brad, list them. List their children.
getting a little bit more family, your parents, your siblings, your spouse, you pray for hedges around those people. You pray that the devil won't be allowed to take captive one of the children for something. I consider myself reasonably comfortable. How is it easier for the devil to get at me? You're one of my children. Didn't start out talking about that either. How God in our lives has attacked you or attacked me. You're one of our kids. You gotta build hedges. Prayers make a difference. How about the unsaved? You pray for them, Daniel? Are they on a list where you can check it off and keep score?
This morning said that we should encourage one another. A little bit, we're going to open up the discussion. We talked a lot last week, talked about prayer. What are other ways that we can spur one another on? I'm sure that there's someone here who doesn't. Rich Whitmire challenged me a while ago, a little group of men, a certain group of men, meet on Saturday morning to hold each other accountable. And he said, Father Brian, I wish about 5 years ago we had started a prayer journal with all of the answers that God has given us over the 5 years that we've been met together. And he's prayed.
What a phenomenal idea.
Now, my mother-in-law does that. There's a woman first. She's a journal. She's serious. Parents that all put it over. We have a prayer chain. Understand? If there are fans of the prayer chain, people say, well, that doesn't work that well. I am being called to my father. No, I am. Personal testimony. When Abby was in the hospital, overnight, nothing sweet on the floor. Very emotional. Comfort to hear Nancy Wolf at 11:30 at night say, I will start praying right now. Now, did that solve all of my problems? Absolutely not. I still spent the next 7 days holding my little girl's hand in the hospital. It helped. Now, you said it's past my mentally weak, and I needed that emotional support. Okay, I'll give you that one. But the fact that Nancy and Sadie Wolf were going to take my little girl to the Toronto Bridge at 11:30 tonight, will even matter to the hospital. They're on. All their hands have been in the hospital. Joshua was in the hospital. Nancy wasn't home. We were at the hospital. There are a few phone numbers that I have. Pretty close.
isn't a magical solution. When you put your little request into the big control room in the sky, is it magical? Struggle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. The devil doesn't fight tricks. God gave us only two offensive weapons. The rest of them are defensive in nature. The shield of faith and mercy. There's the shield to protect us. One of this one here. About what version you grew up with, possible autograph version of the game. Now I need the NIV, there is version. I need to look at another one. There was 42. The other offensive weapon that we have is expanding on the gate of time of thanksgiving. Let us consider one of our great limitations, the ability to take our thoughts and needs and wants and requests to the very throne. And it says, part of our job, part of our task, part of our time to encourage, to uplift, to spur one another on. They got smiles. I'm gonna share. Marilyn had great grandkids. They were a long time in common. But he had great grandkids. Two of them are very special because they're in my house all the time. JP and Sarah Brett. And those two kids pray off. And we get to Abby at the table with them. And the three of them give thanks for lunch. Depending on how hungry they are, it can really be a long prayer. They kind of do it in Brown Robinson.
God's got a smile. He's got a smile with people like that friend. He's got to sit there and just grin, just like I was attempting to grin.
Who likened us out of her fear, stones, not brick, in his contract. Perhaps mostly, when Nathan takes the stone, he fits it in place. Brick Street, assuming it's the right brick of order, assuming that it's the right color.
So, I don't think we all know that God doesn't need us to do that. But when I learned to be God's way, one of his ways that I might have some understanding of, is that when he instructs us or asks us to do things for our own good, which we've heard before, but I'd like to relate that further to what we've been through in the last few months here at Bethany. And, we've dealt with a lot of difficulties and tragedies and sorrows, trials, and, for individuals. And yet, I could become extremely depressed, questioning God, and discouraged if I just thought about those people and I know that the pastors and everything, but since they started on those, my prayers for them have increased because every day I pray that God will empower those vitamins along with the treatment to cure me, to heal me. And so I feel a real closeness to them now because I pray for them and all of them. And so, anyway, all of that to say, some of the reasons God instructs us to pray, it's often for our own good.
Right. Yes,
sir.
Yeah. Work. morning.